hopefully, as a result of this morning's activities, and maybe if you stay for lunch, you will be empowered, you'll feel, you'll experience God in your life more powerfully. And just to let you know that, you know, we have these things called Sunday school classes during the second hour, but they're not really classes. I think that for children it might be a little bit more like a class. But I see these second hours more as organized fellowship time. And what we'll be doing in the adult groups, we have both a young adult and a regular adult group, we're introducing new topics. The young adults are going to be introduced to, and maybe, depending if they want to work with this material, from an organization called Becoming What God Intended. And this, the material that you'll be looking at addresses issues like emotional, dealing with our emotions and trying to connect them with our relationship with God. Because sometimes for us, we tend to think of our faith as, you know, knowledge that's separate from the way we live. But knowing how to love God in a real way. So I hope that you might, those of you who are young adults, will go and weigh in and help this class determine whether they want to use this material or not. I don't know if my brother, Pastor Peter Wang, is here, but he's probably going to come later to introduce the topic. Among the other adults, we're going to be looking at the topic of faith and science, and we're going to use this book, God and Science, as our guide. Javelin, who is the only real scientist that I know here, there may be others, is going to help to co-facilitate this class with me. I'm not a scientist, so I really don't have much authority, but I think that this will be a fun class because we're all going to be exploring questions about how do we think about science and how that relates to our Christian faith, and how do we deal with the questions of evolutionary theory and things of that sort. And even though none of us are experts, I think this will be a good opportunity just to talk about it and hear other people's perspectives. And above all, for both classes, I think they offer a chance for us to fellowship with one another, and I hope that you will take up that opportunity. One last announcement. Most of you have received a copy, as you have come in, along with your bulletin, of the next issue of Inheritance Magazine. And this one is devoted to Fuller's Asian American Initiative, and the topic is Sacred Profane. I have no idea what they're talking about, but we'll take a look and we'll see. I have a story that's going to appear in next issue, so I know that you'll all be very excited, I think, to get your hold of your copy. Well, today, let's continue our theme of loving one another. I hope it's been helpful. I know that those of you who missed it, you can get the recordings, but we also have been publishing the previous outlines of the previous sermons every Sunday. So I hope that whether through actual listening and listening on the website or actually looking at the outlines, that you're finding the materials that we're presenting to be substantive and useful. Because you know, it is a challenge to love people, to love each other as a church. And I know more than anyone else that to be able to overcome my inhibitions or my own prejudgments to love someone else is hard. And I think these topics are really helpful little ways, forays into thinking about practical ways to show real, genuine Christian love. So today, we want to look at this concept of encouragement. And if you would just join me in reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Let's just read it. It's on the screen. You can just read it out loud. So let's do this together. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So Paul is writing to the Thessalonian Christians, and one of his concerns for them is to encourage them to encourage each other. I think that there's I'm not going to go into a deep biblical study of this concept, but I've noticed that oftentimes the word encourage, the command to encourage, is coupled with another word. That word is. Let me give you an example. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians, Deuteronomy, right, chapter 3, verse 28. And here, Moses, before he died, was told by God to commission Joshua, right? And in commissioning Joshua, this is what God told Moses to tell Joshua. He said to him, you can read that with me. Encourage and strengthen him. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. So the word strengthen is usually coupled with encourage. So in the Thessalonian passage, you have encourage and build one another up. So there seems to be this pairing that the Bible uses whenever the word encouragement comes up. It's paired with build up. So, you know, building up and strengthening is kind of like getting prepared to pass a test. If I can sort of differentiate the two definitions, the two words, it's getting prepared to endure a journey. So getting building each other up, strengthening Joshua. I think what's implied there is that Moses and we are to help prepare each other for a journey, or to take a test and pass it. Right? It's like developing skills so that we can accomplish something. We can gain something. Those of us who are teachers, we need to be trained and certified in order to teach. So it's like preparing yourself to get that certification so you can teach. Those of us who are learning how to drive, it's like practicing enough. Of course, our parents are always scared as we do this, but practicing enough so that we can pass that road test. For those of us who are getting married, it's premarital preparation, which is the term I tend to use more than premarital counseling, or marriage preparation. And you spend time processing and thinking through your relationship in order to enter marriage with confidence. And for those of us who are serious disciples of Christ, is attending Sunday school, studying the Bible in order to be mature in our faith. So that's all related to building up, strengthening one another. So when that part is there, is really associated with that message of just, you know, bulking up, getting yourself equipped and ready to do what you're supposed to accomplish as a believer, as a human. But the word encouragement is also needed. And this is different. It's a different concept. And I would even say that this is even more important than building up. Right? Encouraging is more important than building up, because if you don't encourage someone, a person may never get motivated to be built up. Does that make sense? Or I won't go to Bible study unless I'm encouraged by somebody to go to Bible study. Right? So there's something that comes before building up. And this is what Sister says, the book that we're following right now. The author says, like secular society, the church assumes that most of its members will live responsibly, will fulfill the basic requirements of discipleship. That's the assumption that we make as a church body. Some church members are here one Sunday and gone the next. Some are unwilling to volunteer for anything because they're just too busy. Frequently, they're too late for meetings, and if they show up at all, some don't even want to stay because they jump from one church to another. Now, the church exists for these folks too. You know, folks who are not very committed to a church. We exist for the folks who bounce around and are not consistent. But it can only exist for them if most of us members show up week in and week out to teach Sunday school, to bake cookies. I don't know if we bake cookies here. We do something else, right? To rock crying babies, to run the sound system, the AV system, so let's give Jeffrey and William a cheer. Yeah, yeah, there you go. To sing in the choir or in the praise band. If people don't come and pay their tithe, they don't show up for committee meetings or to visit people who are shut in. Without those people, the church cannot exist. So we do hope that more people exhibit those types of behavior, but certainly there are those who don't. But the church exists primarily because of these folks, people who are ordinary, a critical mass of ordinary, faithful believers who continue to be faithful and committed. In order for any church to survive, we need these kind of people. And we often fail to realize how much the church depends on such faithful people until they're gone. So what is needed? The word is encouragement. Encouragement is the mutuality command that meets the needs of these faithful people. Okay, not just leaders like Joshua, but everyone who gives a little bit to help build up a church. They need encouragement. We all need encouragement. So let's explore that a little further, okay? You know, and deepen this a little bit. Encouragement, this is, again, Sifler's analogy. Encouragement is to the people in the church what maintenance is to trucks and cars. So how often, those of you who own cars, how often do you take your car in for oil change? What's the recommended amount? 100,000 miles, did you say? 5,000, right? Newer cars is 100,000. Okay. No, it can't be 100,000. Okay, that's by the time if you don't change your oil after 100,000 miles, I misheard you, Matt. I know it's not 100,000 miles. If it was 100,000 miles, if you don't change the oil, what's going to happen to that car? Your engine will be gone. It'll be destroyed. Forget it. It'll burn up, and there's nothing left. And the most important part of the car is the engine, right? So if you don't maintain your engine by changing the oil, so those of you who are young people who don't have cars yet, remember this, okay? Once you get a new car, you have to take it into Jiffy Lube or your local mechanic, and every 3 months or 3,000 miles or 5,000 miles, you have to change the oil. A good car can last 300,000 miles, you know that? but only if we change the oil and maintain it regularly. So that's what encouragement is. Encouragement is oil change. It's maintenance. It's what we do to help people in the church not get burned out and continue to go on and thrive. Without encouragement, people give up and get tired. All right, so let's keep that in mind. Let's go that even further. I want to also say that encouragement is not just in general encouragement. It's also specifically as Christians about helping us to keep going and growing as disciples of Jesus Christ over the long haul. It's a 300-mile goal, 300,000-mile goal. Encouragement is what allows us to continue to grow and to go on as disciples of Jesus Christ. And the Greek word for encouragement stresses the need to help our fellow believers persist in faith and live as disciples. So it's not just about encouraging you and helping you feel better, helping you to de-stress and being a listening ear. It's about specifically helping each other stay on track with our faith. Okay, so that's the big difference between Christian encouragement and encouragement that's normally done in our society. All right, so you see, because without encouragement, believers will flag in zeal and lose heart. So we have to exhort them when that happens. If believers struggle with a problem and stumble in their walk with God, we have to build them up. And if they face loss or disappointment, we have to comfort them. So the truth is still the same. No matter what we do to support people, we need to encourage people. When we feel like we're wearing out, we need maintenance to keep going. So encouragement gives us the courage to trust God and to keep our faith commitments in the face of challenging circumstances and future uncertainties. Does that make sense to you? So if you are encouraged by a brother or sister in Christ, it gives you that extra energy to keep on saying, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue to live my life for Him. All right, so this, I just want to give a warning, though. This is just to make it very clear, just to reinforce this point again and again. There, we encouragement when it faces the untethered life. Okay, I want to present this as well. The untethered life is basically the American version of individualism, right? It's the romantic and heroic dream. It's like a marriage. It would be like a man and a woman, and when they get married, they say, it's just you and me, babe. Us against the world. We're untethered from everyone else. We're just going to, I don't care if, you know, Romeo and Juliet, I don't care what my parents say or your parents say. We're just going to go off and elope and live our own lives our own way. Have any of you ever had that romance? Yes, I see 16-year-olds saying yes, that's what I want to do. Okay, so have you ever felt that way? Like I don't want to deal with my in-laws at all, either yours or mine. I just want to be on my own and start my own family. Well, I'm telling you, that is much more pervasive, even among us Asians, than you think. It really is, and this is a form of secular libertarianism that's very pervasive in our American society. If it's not marriage, it's also about the rugged West, right? The rugged individual, the marble man who smokes and he doesn't need anyone. He's just a cowboy, right? So this is what is it goes on, and we are all influenced by that. And not all of it is bad, okay? But we're all influenced by it. So when we think about encouragement, oftentimes we think of it as, I'm going to encourage you to be who you want to be. I want to encourage you to be happy on your own, untethered from everyone else, but be on your own. Be individual, be independent. Now, there is value to independence. We all want our children to grow up and not constantly stay home. We want them to be adults and move out. That's been Betty and my struggle. But we also don't want to encourage a total untethered life, like this astronaut here. I mean, if he continues this way without getting a tube, that guy's going to die, right? So the point is, when we encourage each other, we're not simply encouraging you to be the best you can be. We're saying we want to encourage you to do the best you can and stay tethered to the faith community. Tethered to a people who love you and care about you and stay tethered. So I'm going to go off the script a little bit and sort of complain, okay? I'm sorry if you heard this before. But I have noticed, you know, I haven't been a pastor since the early 90s until I came to this church about 6 years ago. So in between, when Betty and I first got married back in 1985 to the marriages that I started to observe afterwards, right, the weddings, not marriages, weddings, I have noticed this change. All right. When in the 80s, those of us who were in church who get married would always assume that if you're going to get married in a church. Isn't that right? Because after all, it's the church that blesses the rite of marriage, right? It's the church that blesses helps you join man and woman together, right? But today, nobody gets married in the church anymore. Have you noticed that? It's always a golf course or country club or another place. And I'm not complaining really about that. That's not a big deal to me. But this is a clear sign that the American cultural influence of Christianity is falling apart among people who are getting married. Because people don't want to get married in a church anymore. What is the pastor needed for? They'll change the rituals. The vows are, my own personal vows. There's no connection to the language of the church anymore in most of our marriages. Weddings. Okay. So all I'm trying to say here is this: on the one hand, it's not so bad the truth is really there now. American Christianity does not have that cultural influence over people as it used to be. And that's okay. I don't really mind that. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of Christians are very scared about the same-sex marriage discussion, because they feel like we're losing control. The church is losing its ability to control what marriage is about. So I have other feelings about that we can talk about. But my point is this. When people today get married, they often bypass the church altogether. Even Christians. All right. So one of the things that young people should be aware of is that when you're going to get date someone or you want to get married to somebody, if you are a Christian and you're tethered to a community of the pastor, the elders, the deacons, and other brothers and sisters in Christ, should be part of that conversation, right? Or no? So I don't know. I don't know what people are thinking, but I believe, and I didn't want to do this when I first came to this church. I didn't want to be a matchmaker. But now I'm believing more and more, because of the way our culture is going, that if you are single and looking for a wife or a husband, we should talk about it. This is a live discipleship issue. It's real. And we should talk about relationship and building relationships, making our relationships centered on Jesus Christ, and helping us make decisions that really enhance our faith, help us to really grow and get encouraged, but also tethered to the community. And one of the things, I have some pastor friends who are just so exhausted by premarital counseling, because no matter what they say, they can't get this message across, that marriage is not just between you and your bride-to-be or husband-to-be, and you just go off and do your own thing. You're part of a community. So if I'm going to encourage you to have a happy and healthy marriage, the fundamental reality is that you've got to be connected to God, to Jesus Christ, and to community. So this untethered approach to encouragement is not going to help. So now that I've gotten that off my chest, all right, the real meaning of encouragement is not just go and follow your bliss. It's, I'm going to encourage you because life is tough. I'm going to encourage you because it's difficult. But as I encourage you, it means that you need to be part of a community. Without being a part of a community, it's not going to help. The community is what builds up your faith. All right, so having said that, you all should come to church. Okay, you should all make sure that you tell young people who are graduating from college, don't just go follow churches that your friends go to, because you have to examine your motives. Go to a church where you know that you have mentors who can help you tether your life so that your faith can become core to your identity as you grow up and become an adult and get married. Okay, so anyway, sermon over. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but let's go look at a great example of somebody who was an encourager and worked in this direction of not just encouraging people to follow their bliss, but also encourage people to be tethered to the faith community. And I'm talking about Barnabas, right? You all know who Barnabas is, right? In the early church, after encountering their first opposition, the disciples of Jesus in Jerusalem, they prayed and they were emboldened by the Holy Spirit. And at that time, they began to share their resources, so there was no needy persons among them. And one of the persons who stepped up to support the early church was a man named Joseph. Okay, let's take a look at Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. Joseph was a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. And Barnabas is his nickname. It means son of encouragement. And what did Barnabas do? Well, he sowed a field that he owned and brought the money to put it at the apostles' feet. So what Barnabas did there gave him his nickname. He earned the nickname Son of Encouragement, Barnabas, because he took one of his possessions, he sowed it, It gave it to the early church community. And because of that, the early church community had more to share with one another, so there was not one needy person among them. Barnabas, this was his act of encouragement. Right? Does that make sense? So this is how he encouraged the early church and how he got this nickname. And as I shared in previous sermons, encouraging fellow believers is what made Barnabas, I believe, the most important catalyst, the most important early church figure, more important in some ways than Paul or Peter, because without him, the early church would never have survived and would not have grown, and we would not be able to enjoy the blessings of Jesus Christ today. Barnabas was really, really critical. And let me show you why. If you go further down, the Apostle Paul, who before he converted was and became a follower of Jesus, was a persecutor. He was destroying the early church. And in Acts chapter 9, he had this amazing conversion experience and realized that, I need to figure out my life. It's not about persecuting the church. It's more about something else. It's about Jesus, right? Am I doing that? Okay, just curious. Okay, yeah. So in Acts chapter 9, now that Paul has been converted, of course, no Christian trusted him, right? So he's a newborn Christian. He has a calling in ministry, but nobody trusts him. So in chapter 9, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't really believe that he truly was a follower of Jesus. But what happened here? Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and how the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas overcame the mistrust. He welcomed Paul. He advocated for him before the other Christians and became his partner, Paul's partner in Paul's ministry. So here's another example of how an encourager like Barnabas broke the ice, was able to bring Paul into the community, earn the trust of people. And as a result, Paul was able to freely go and flourish and become what God called him to be. But it was all because of one Barnabas who encouraged everyone, Paul and the community of believers. So Barnabas is a great example of encouragement. And even though Sister doesn't talk about him, I feel like there should be a whole book based on talking about how Barnabas's practices help to build up and encourage the church and can be example for all of us. Okay, so this is great. I mean, we have Barnabas who sets the example of being the main encourager. So what about us? Can we become like Barnabas? On the flap of your bulletin, if you have one, if you don't have one, I don't know if there are any extras left, you notice these two kids, right? And there's a thought balloon on top, a picture of a guy and a gal with a thought balloon. Okay. Now, what I want you to do right now is to think about somebody that you haven't seen in a while, perhaps. Think about someone who hasn't been at church functions for a while. Maybe someone who's been discouraged, who seems to be discouraged. Someone who might have serious doubts about his or her faith. Someone who might be struggling with life issues and family, work. Someone who just might be feeling left out from our family and faith community. Just think about someone for a few minutes, okay? Think of someone who might be very faithful at our church, but hasn't received a lot of recognition for his or her faithfulness. So what I want you to do is, as you're thinking about this person, write that person's name on the top of this box, okay? If you don't have a pencil, you just have to, or a pen, you just have to memorize the name, okay? So do that. Can you do that for a few minutes? I'll just give you 1 minute to think about someone and put that person's name on the top of that box. Okay, now, having done that, decide for yourself right now. This week, how will I encourage that person? What am I going to do to encourage that person this week? Okay, like for me, I thought of somebody, and I'm going to Skype this person on Tuesday night. And I'm not, this is the way I'm going to do it from now on. It's too hard for me to travel 30, 40 miles to your homes from where I live. So I'm just going to talk to you on Skype for maybe 15 minutes. And I've been doing that recently. It's been a lot of fun. One of the reasons why I'm really encouraged and more excited about my time here is because I'm having more opportunities to talk to individuals in our church over Skype or through conversation. So that's what I'm going to do. What about you? What are you going to do? You don't have to do the Skype thing. You can do other things, like some of you might want to invite that person for boba, Why not? Where's your favorite boba place? Take that person out. Some of you might say, just go to a Warriors game. Yeah. Who wants to do that, right? I have an opportunity. Here, I have these tickets, free tickets, for. Have you ever heard of the San Jose Spiders? Have you?
Yes.
Yeah, who are they?
Ultimate Frisbee.
So some of us are into Ultimate Frisbee. Okay, I've got, this is semi-professional Ultimate Frisbee. And my brother, Peter Wang, who will be here later, gave us two stacks, huge stacks of these free tickets to watch the San Jose Spiders play. Let's see. There are a bunch of home games. Oh, half the games are over, but there's a May 29th game, June 11th, there's four more games left on the season. So if you want to just grab a stack of these tickets and think about a friend that you want to invite to watch the game. Now, this is I don't live in San Jose, but if I did, even though I'm not all that into Ultimate Frisbee, I'll take a stack and I'll think, okay, I'm going to bring one of these youth kids with me. Maybe neither of us like Ultimate Frisbee. We're just going to go and hang out and enjoy the game together and encourage each other. All right, so that's another thing you can do. Okay, I've actually provided this opportunity for you. So when the service is over, please ask Catherine or Terry for as many of these tickets as you can think of to give to your friends and take them to one of the games. Okay, the dates are, just so you know, May 29th, that's a Sunday. Oh, yeah, you can go to that game. It's after lunch, so you won't miss church. Okay, and then there's a Saturday game on June 11th and a Saturday game on June 18th. Well, June 18th, I can't go to that one because I'm going to have a party for Nathaniel. Some of you will be asked to come. And then June 25th, all the other games are Saturday. Okay, so please, at the end of the service, take a bunch of these and think about how you might encourage someone to watch a game. Simple things, simple gestures, but hopefully at these opportunities, you don't just go and have fun, but talk about how is the other person doing with their faith journey. What is happening? How are they struggling with their doubts about Christ? How maybe a person feeling like God's not helping me and not there for me, pray for that person, but give that an opportunity to encourage someone. So having done so, you will then be a member of Team Barnabas. Okay, as a member of this team, you have one of the most important responsibilities in our entire church. You're taking out time to connect with our people, with each other, not simply to have fun and hang out, but to encourage them to keep on going and growing as followers of Jesus Christ. There are many ways to encourage people. I just shared with you a few. And most are very simple, very easy. They require very, very little. Nothing more than empathy and observation. Empathy for people and a willingness to see what their needs are. So become part of the team, because teamwork makes the dream work. Because team means together everyone achieves more. All right, you know what I mean, right? So the truth is, I'm actually going to actually form a sort of semi-informal team to actually do this. All right? So if you're interested, let me know, because all that is going to require of you is to be willing to spend some time every week, maybe 15 minutes to half hour, just to check in with somebody in the church. Okay? Because we're good at doing a lot of things in this church. We're good at doing service, at raising money, at doing Canyon Guest Festivals. But what we need to do better at is learning how to connect with each other and encourage each other on a personal level. So if you're interested in joining Team Barnabas, let me know. And other things that we can do sometimes, just to make sure that you realize how simple this is, okay? All you need to do is just send a note of appreciation or say a word of kindness to somebody. Like, you rock. Keep fighting. Good job. Great job. My favorite is you. Wow. That's my favorite. Okay, so visitors, people who are discouraged, people who are looking for friendships, faithful servants, people who are looking like they're lost, they can all be boosted up and encouraged just by a simple gesture of appreciation and kindness. And you can do it. And let me just continue just to reinforce this point about kind words. There's a Japanese proverb. I don't know if it's really Japanese, but it sounds good. One kind word can warm three winter months. Okay, I just took this off the internet, so I don't know if it's verifiable. But there is a Bible passage that says something very similar in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers up. So can you be a person who just sees someone else and wants to provide encouragement and kindness. Now, Betty, I'm going to close with this story. My wife, Betty, okay, not another Betty. Betty, my wife, has a mentor. Her name is Vera. Oh, oops, not Coach K. Vera. Okay, yeah, okay. Oh, and by the way, I don't have a photo of Betty's mentor, Coach Vera, so I'll use this photo of this Hong Kong head coach. Her name is Chan Yuen Ting, who represent Vera. Okay, so Chan is the first woman in the world to coach a top division men's team to a national championship. And also, Vera's not Asian. She's African-American. So anyway, Vera used to work at San Jose State until she retired. She and Betty had developed a relationship, like a mentoring relationship, where Betty goes to her a lot, and maybe too much, in my opinion, because there's no Tim time, it's all Vera time, right? So she goes and talks to Vera, and then there are times when I'm listening in, and she's going on for hours and hours and hours, and I'm saying, wow, there's that much to talk about? Amazing. So whenever Betty is feeling discouraged or needs to just sort of let it off steam, or she wants to talk about issues and get some advice about next steps and decisions, I often hear her talking to Vera. And I hear them sometimes talking for hours. And once Betty asked her, well, Vera, why are you so willing to take so much time to listen to me rant and listen to me talk? So Vera said, you are doing the Lord's work, Betty. Okay? Because she knows that I'm a pastor, and Betty's sort of a pastor's wife, I think. And as a result of being a pastor in ministry, she, as a person who is really concerned about Christian faith, wants to be able to use what she considers her spiritual gift of encouragement. And she's actually said this to Betty, that her gift of encouragement is to, her spiritual gift is to encourage. Okay, so she's using her spiritual gift to encourage Betty because Betty is working for the Lord. So as a result, she's willing to take time out with Betty and encourage her. I'm encouraging you because I know that you need my encouragement to keep you going. I need to do this so that you can stay strong, so you won't give up, and so you won't beat up Tim every single time you're not happy. And I added that. I don't think she knows about that. So the whole point is, without Vera's time and effort to encourage Betty, it would have been much harder for Betty and for me to continue to stay strong and faithful and committed to Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage all of you to be like a Vera. Really, seriously, think about that. You know, let's encourage one another. Let's remind each other of our ultimate destination and purpose, which is in Jesus Christ. Help each other to stay on the path of life, and don't just let that pass by. I know that sometimes it's tempting when we're meeting with each other not to talk about God, not to talk about Jesus, because we just want to be friends. But we have to get beyond that. Remember, encouragement is more than just being encouraging each other to fulfill our bliss. And we need to encourage each other to follow Jesus and stay on the path, to keep on going and growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, as I conclude, I want to have one final side note. Today is Pentecost, so it's helpful to remember this. That if you feel like you have not been getting any encouragement by our brothers and sisters in this church, you're not alone. It does happen. It does happen when we come and we don't feel like there are people who really are encouraging me. But if that happens to you, be patient. You will get your encouragement. It will happen. But more importantly, trust that the Holy Spirit is there to encourage you if brothers and sisters are not there. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, after Paul converted and became a believer, the church rejoiced. They were so happy that their biggest enemy, their biggest persecutor, was now on their side. And we read there that the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. That's Acts chapter 9, verse 31. And was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord, and it increased in numbers. Okay? Let me see. And in that passage, oh no, what did I just do? Oh, I'm sorry, let me go back. Here we go. They were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, in that experience of Paul's conversion, the early church felt the Holy Spirit encouraging them. It didn't always have to be a person. it was actually God Himself through the Holy Spirit. So when you don't receive encouragement or you don't feel like you're getting it, always turn to God. Always talk to Him directly, because He will encourage you, maybe not in verbal form, but you can trust that He is there through the Holy Spirit to encourage you. So as we close our time, I'm going to invite William to come up and pray, because the Holy Spirit is there for us. And as we celebrate Pentecost, let's pray that God's Holy Spirit will be available to encourage and empower us always.
So it's all together. We have our own part that we can read it out too. Okay, there is me, Pastor Tim, and a congregation. Okay. Holy Spirit, we are not sure we are ready for your awesome power to blow through our lives.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I think you have the still slider. There's also a slide with the verses on it. You think it get loaded up? Oh, okay. Sorry. I think you should just read it.
Okay. All right. Technical. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. So
yeah, just read
okay,
the whole thing.
Let me read it again. Holy Spirit, we are not sure we are ready for your awesome power to blow through our lives.
Oh, it came up. Good.
Your turn?
Yeah, it's my turn. Okay, it's not on that screen. That's why we're afraid to give up our waking slumber, and face the truth that we do not truly live.
When we cling to our ways and the safety of family paths, shake us up.
Walk with us, O God, and give us the courage to follow the way that is lit by the fire of your Spirit. Praise band, please come on up and lead us.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, for the message. You, wow. Yeah, very good. hopefully we are encouraging one another in all that we do. And again, why don't you guys stand and again focus on again Christ and what He's done and the encouragement He gives us in everything we do.
The ground, His body
Offering is something that we do not because we have obligation,